morning. I'm going to keep it really brief. I told everyone it's 10 minutes. When I told my wife, she didn't believe me. But I will keep it 10 minutes. So I thought about, because I'm not gonna teach Matthew like the, I'll do that tomorrow. But I just thought about, you know, what was, for me, up until, you know, we're at chapter 18, you know, what's kind of been the most touching passage or most enlightening passage for me? And I'd have to say it's actually Matthew 11. So I'm just going to go back and just teach that little part. And then we'll get straight into the communion. And I want you guys to do it in your house churches. You got the guys got the instructions. The leaders got the instructions. So really have a wonderful time breaking the fast. So Matthew 11. And it came about that when Jesus had finished giving instructions to his 12 disciples, he departed from there to teach and preach in their cities. Now when John in prison heard of the works of Christ, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you the expected one? Or should we look for someone else?" And Jesus answered and said to them, "Go and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he who keeps from stumbling over me." And as these were going away, Jesus began to speak to the multitude about John. "What did you go out in the wilderness to look at? A reed shaken by the wind? But what did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothing? Behold, those who wear soft clothing are in kings' palaces. But why did you go out? To see a prophet? Yes, I say to you, the one who is more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, 'Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you.' Truly I say to you, among those born of women, there has not arisen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Yet he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." Amen. And so I chose this because I thought this passage was so meaningful. Again, this is the closing of the second block of teachings that happens. So we learn of John's arrest. This is the first time we learn of his arrest. And he asks a really remarkable question during this time. He turns to Jesus. He hears about all the stuff that Jesus is doing. And he asks this question, "Are you the expected one?" Or better, "Are you the one? Like, are you the one that we've been waiting for? Are you the Messiah?" And only Matthew actually records this part because it's a question of identity, and that's what Matthew is really trying to push during this time. And if you remember when I taught this, I said this was really a remarkable question because no one understood Jesus more than John did. Remember, John, the Bible says that when Mary was pregnant, when Mary walked by Elizabeth, who was pregnant, and as he walked by, it says the baby leapt, like John leapt in her womb, and then she was filled with the Holy Spirit. Luke will actually tell us, and this is one of those mysterious things, Luke will tell us that this baby would be filled with the Holy Spirit even in the womb. And so John is special among, there's actually no one in recorded history that was filled with the Spirit, maybe Jesus, right? So these two cousins. That's pretty amazing. So now you have a case study that God saves without human intervention, which is a huge thing, right? I mean, it has all kinds of repercussions that happen. And so he knew in utero that he was the Son of God. He was first to proclaim when he saw him, he says, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." John said that. And then later on, we find out that, and at the baptism, John hears the words of God, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." And now time passes by, and all of a sudden, John is now doubting. He's like, are you the one? And if you remember when I was teaching on this, there was something that happened. You know what happened? John was in prison. And I think very, very similar to us, that's what happens as well. We may have all the proofs of who God is. We may have testimony after testimony. I mean, you may be filled with the Spirit. All kinds of things happen. And the moment we run into such difficulty that is undeserving of a man of God. I mean, you think about, do you think John wanted to end his life like this? He's sitting in the Machaerus, which is, you know, one of Herod's most grisly fortresses. He's sitting in the Machaerus, and then he gets beheaded, and his head given to a scantily clad dancing girl. I mean, is that befitting of a man of God? And we find ourselves when we think, God, you're being unfair. God, this is something is wrong with this. You know, God, this doesn't make sense. You know, why am I, I'm serving you, I'm preaching the gospel, but why am I in prison? And then we're also prone to say, are you really God? Are you really the one? Now, I don't want to focus on that part. I want to focus on Jesus. And look at Jesus' response. He says, well, go tell John, basically, the signs of the Messiah, the lame walk, the blind see, the dead are raised from the good news is preached, right? You know, Isaiah 61, he's proclaiming all these things. And then later on, when the disciples leave, Jesus turns and talks to his disciples, and he talks about John. And notice he has not one bad word to say about John. Notice that when he talks about John, he says there's no one greater born of women than John. And I think the devil, what he wants to do is when we get into those situations, the devil wants to really just kind of like just grind us. You know, not only say God doesn't love you, but then when there's a impulse to go back to God, says God's going to reject you. Do you remember those things you said about God? Remember the way that you doubted God? God's not going to receive you. But look at the testimony of Jesus. John, who of anyone on the face of the earth should not have doubted him, he doubts him. Are you the one? And then next thing you know, Jesus, all he has is good things to say about John. That's the heart of our Savior, right? Even when we're faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. There's something about the character of Jesus that he does not get offended at our doubting. He doesn't get offended by our accusations, right? He doesn't get offended when we cry out, God, this is unfair. You know, he is so much bigger than that. You know what I mean? Like his character and his heart is so magnanimous. It goes far beyond, you know, our little squabblings and our little fist raising that we give to God. I mean, think about it. When John, imagine if I was in that situation, I would be hurt. You know what I mean? Like, John, you know me better than anybody else. How can you question me? But Jesus never did that. He just said, I love John. I'm proud of John. John is the greatest man, you know, that was ever born of a woman. And I think if he does that for John, I think he does that for us as well. You know, isn't that the whole concept of his loving kindness, right? From the one who you should expect to receive nothing from, you get everything. And John should have received a rebuke, but instead he received praise. And so, that's the Jesus that we're celebrating today. That's the Jesus that we're taking his body and his blood today. That's the Jesus we've been praying to these last 21 days. And that's the Jesus that we'll get to serve for the rest of our lives. He's not offended. He has a huge heart. And he just flat out loves us. Amen? Let's close our eyes. I did that in 9 minutes, Lisa. I just want you to know that. Let's close our eyes. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you today as we sing a song of worship. This is who we're singing to. We're singing to a gracious, gracious God who is madly in love with us. And even when we fail, you know, and then on top of failing, then accuse God for it and question him. He only has words of kindness to say to us. What an absolute blessing. And I imagine we're going to understand the fullness of this when we get to heaven. And the video is going to be played of our life, and we're going to think, oh man, I'm going to get a beat down. And instead, the Lord puts crowns on our heads. Oh, he's a good God. Oh, let's worship this good and faithful God. Let me read from the scriptures in 1 Corinthians 11:23. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you. The Lord Jesus, in the night in which he betrayed, took bread. And when given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks of the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner should be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks judgment to himself, but does not judge the body rightly. For this reason, many among you are weak and sick, and a number are asleep. And so when we partake of his table, of his supper, we proclaim his death until he comes again. And so he just asks us to simply come to this table and examine our hearts and examine ourselves before him. And when we take the elements, I want you to go back into your house church groups, and I want you just have to spend that time of just examining ourselves before the Lord. And if your house church leader is not here, and hopefully you guys know who you are, then you can just come up to the front afterwards, and you can, and I'll lead you during this time. And then I just want you to just spend some time together in prayer, just really asking the Lord to really continue to do a deep, deep work in our lives. Let me just pray for us, and then we'll just have you come and grab your elements and move to your spots. And so, Lord, we thank you, God. We're so grateful, Lord. Our words cannot express our gratitude towards you for what you've done for us, God. Lord, you're a faithful Father. Lord, thank you for your blood, God. Thank you for your body broken. Thank you for the cross. Lord, just the rest of our lives, God, we want to say thank you, Lord, by the way we live our lives. Lord, bless this time today, God. In Jesus' name.